Blog Talk Radio.
Another great show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Show with author, master trainer, and certified dream coach, Constance Arnold. Join us every week as we bring you life-changing information that will empower your life. And here's Constance.
Well, hello there, everyone. This is Constance Arnold, and I'm your host for the Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show. I'm so excited today, and I think I'm a little nervous, too, because this is the premiere of my new show, which is coming to you with a little Southern flavor from beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. It's a little rainy here today, but still a very beautiful day. And I just want to thank you so much for tuning in, and I want to say to you that your life will never be the same again after listening to this show. The Think, Believe, and Manifest Talk Show will be airing live on the Law of Attract Radio Network every Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the East Coast and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the West Coast. And just in case you're busy, you can feel free to download it anytime during the week. So I'm just really excited, and I'm honored to begin what I believe will be a very inspiring and life-changing talk show. Well, we have with us a very special guest today, Miss Amanda Eskridge, and I am so excited about having her on the show today because she's going to be sharing with us how she used her thinking and believing to manifest millions. I'm talking dollars, folks, and how she attracted love and purpose and destiny into her life. So I can't wait to hear her. So if you have any friends who have been downsized or who are kind of struggling financially, call them up and tell them to get online and listen to her. But before Amanda comes, I want to share with you just a little bit about myself and the show, since this is my debut show, about the Think, Believe, and Manifest show. A little bit about me, as you can probably tell, I'm really excited. I'm very passionate about what I do, and so I want to share just a little bit about who I am so that you can feel my spirit, my passion, and my energy. The first thing is I love being joyful, as you probably can tell, and having fun. So even though we're going to be learning a lot today, I just believe that you can learn and have fun. But professionally, I have over 20 years experience. I can't believe that. I know I sound young, but 20 years experience as a professional counselor, and I'm also a certified dream coach. And no, I cannot interpret your dreams. Whenever I tell people that, they ask me, can you interpret my dream? A dream coach is someone who helps to take your dreams from wishing and hoping to reality. And we utilize specialized strategies and proven techniques to help you move towards your dream. Actually, I was certified by Marsha Weider, who's on the West Coast in San Francisco. She founded Dream University, and I got my certification through her, and it's just been a wonderful experience for me. Additionally, I have conducted leadership training in Fortune 100, 300, 500 companies, and it's just been a great experience for me. I've met so many wonderful and great people during my training. I'm also an author, and I wrote the book, and it's a workbook, Secrets of Success. And the workbook basically deals with helping people to deal with dysfunctional behavior, limiting belief, you know, all of your childhood issues. And it helps you to identify and deal with your stuff, whatever that is, and you know that we all have it, and take a look at that and see what's been hindering you from success, and it helps you to move from where you are to where you want to be. So that's basically about who I am, and you can learn more about me, you know, as the weeks go on. So let me talk a little bit before Amanda comes on about what is the purpose of Think, Believe, and Manifest show. Well, I did a lot of thinking about it, and it's to awaken you, awaken you. We've been asleep to who we really are, to awaken you to the greatness that's on the inside of you, to awaken you to the power that you possess. Also, to awaken you to the many universal laws that are there waiting for us to just utilize them so that we can change our lives. and awaken you that you're co-creators with God and Spirit so that you can live your life more fully. And I, in my thinking about this, so many of my clients over the years would come to me and said, Constance, I've been praying, I've been believing, I've been confessing, I've been affirming, and I feel like nothing has happened. Can anybody relate to that? I know I can. They say that I've read all the latest books, I've been to the conferences, the motivational seminars, and there seems to be no permanent change. And really, in my life, in many ways, I was struggling with some of the same issues because I was certainly successful in business, but in some areas in my personal life, I had been struggling for years. And so I began my own sort of personal, intense, diligent search for truth. Now, I've always been a spiritual woman pursuing God and pursuing spiritual things, but I knew something was wrong because I just was not manifesting the things in my life. And what I found out was that I was not only oblivious to some of the universal laws like the law of attraction, but I was not utilizing them. So instead of blaming God, what I started to do was just to begin to really utilize, especially the law of attraction, and I have had miracles to happen in my life. So after I studied, what I came to realize was that it takes the Spirit behind the laws in order to really manifest and demonstrate. And so how did I get on this show? Well, I really broke my foot actually in January, and so I've been stuck in my house for 2 months, and so that means that I haven't been traveling as much, and I've sort of been really quiet. And so one day after prayer and meditation, I just felt led. You might call it inspired action or just something on the inside of you to contact the Law of Attraction Radio Network, and here I am sharing with you. So that's kind of the whys and the purpose of the show. Now, lastly, let's talk about what are some of the topics going to be featured on the show. Let me just say up front that I am so glad and really grateful that the Think, Believe, and Manifest show is debuting at this time historically just in our world because of everything that's going on globally. I mean, it is really a very, very difficult time for many people. People are suffering financially. I mean, you see it on the news. I just saw it before I came downstairs, how one lady just lost her life savings. And she is saying, what am I going to do with my life? How can I start over again at 60? People are afraid, they're confused, and they are really frustrated and don't know how they can recover from the current devastation in their lives. And that's why I'm so glad that this show is going to be presenting knowledge that's going to create change. And what I tell people is that one truth that I have learned is that loss and pain does not create change. It may birth change, but it won't create it. What really brings about change is knowledge, and that's what we're going to be presenting on this show. And we believe that this show will be a tool to help people begin to recreate their lives, recreate abundance, love, or whatever they want to happen in their lives. So on every show, we're going to be talking about every facet of human experience, which may include attracting love into your life, attracting more money into your life, being more creative, being more purposeful, finding your purpose and destiny, etc. And so the format is going to be, on some shows, I want to hear from you. I want you to call in, talk to me, share with me and the guests exactly what your issues, your concerns, your problems are. We want to feel you. We're going to open up the chat room so that while I'm talking to my guests, we can kind of see what questions you might have. And like tonight, we're going to bring on just common people who have produced extraordinary results like Amanda Eskridge. And the reason I put this format in is because I think many times when we hear from experts, we say, oh, I'm not that smart, or those people are experts, or they have a lot of money, they've done a lot of research. So I'm going to bring on common people just like you, people who live next door to you, people who you work with, your coworkers, who have produced extraordinary results. And, of course, we're going to have the celebrities on, the experts, all of the people who've done all the research. And so basically that's going to be the purpose and the format of this show. We're just going to sort of flow in the spirit because we're here to serve, inform, and to really present you with knowledge that you can take and change your life. So that's about it, and I'm going to bring on Amanda Eskridge, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about how she used her thinking, believing, and her faith to really manifest millions, love, and purpose and destiny in her life. Amanda, are you here?
Hi, Constance.
Hello, Amanda.
Hey.
How are you?
Oh, I'm just wonderful. I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
I am so proud of you. And even though you just gave that very elaborate oration about yourself and all of your credentials, they still don't know the half. I do want to take a minute to speak more about you because you have impacted my life so much. I think about even this experience of you breaking your leg and being at home since, what, like December, being homebound?
Yes, cabin fever, thank you.
Gosh, and having people bring food to you, having furniture come to you, just one manifestation after the other happening in your life. I mean, it has just been amazing, and it has kept me focused, and it has kept me motivated because through you, I've seen what God can do.
Thank you.
And even in the past, when you had, and you know, I told you about this because we're friends, and you're having your women's group. And I would come to your house and watch all of these women gathering in your home. And I would think, what a heart, what a woman who has such a heart who would open up her home for the betterment of other women. And then seeing the women serving, women in service because they support and believe in what you're doing and because of the impact that you have had on their lives. And now this. I mean, it's phenomenal. And I remember a long time back when it was prophesied to you that you would have extraordinary exploits, and they are coming to pass.
Thank you.
So I feel truly honored. Let me tell you, I am humbled to be your very first guest and, like yourself, a bit nervous as well, but very happy to be here.
And thank you, Amanda. She's going to make me cry on my premiere show. That's not right, Amanda. But let me just say this. What Amanda's talking about is that I have actually been utilizing the law of attraction in my own life personally, and especially this year since I broke my foot. I tell you, I've had so many miracles just staying at home, just thinking, believing, and so many great manifestations. But thank you so much for sharing that. Well, Amanda, let's talk a little bit because we're not going to talk about the inherited wealth right now because people think that when you say wealth and when you're a multimillionaire that you haven't had any issues. Just talk to me a little bit about some of your struggles, some of your losses, and what was your thinking and believing during those times?
Well, let me start you at the beginning because I think inherently that's the most important place to start. As a little girl, my mother believed in exposure and exposing her children to different things in life. And it's so interesting when I talk about this with my sister, who is 2 years older than I am, because her perception of it was so different from mine. But everything, of course, is determined by the person that you are. I'm the baby in the family. And where your parents are at that particular time. So being the baby, I was spoiled, and my mother was a stay-at-home mom, and my daddy worked to earn a living for us. He worked 2 jobs, and he brought the check home. But my mother believed strongly in family, my mother and my father. So she would always take me places when we were home. She exposed me to the theater. She exposed me to... at the time, it was Macy's, and we would catch the bus and ride downtown and go to Macy's. I went to see the Pink Pig, the Christmas tree lighting at Rich's. And these are something, because this is something, being in my middle age, this is something that during the time when segregation was pretty much ending, but it was still peppered throughout, we went to the Lowe's Grand Theater to see Gone with the Wind. And we would drive by places, and I would comment, and I would say, oh, my, that is so nice. That is so pretty. And my mother would always say, you know, you can have that if you want to. And I said, I can? And she said, yes. And that shaped my thinking. It let me see that all things were possible for me.
Well, you know, Amanda, just cutting in here, mm-hmm. they're saying that a child's thinking and exposure is shaped by the time they're five.
Oh.
So what you're saying is that your exposure and your mother speaking those words over you made you begin to believe and think that you could have that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think in a lot of ways, just like we see in the Bible, that my mother was blessing me with her words. She was pouring blessings out upon me because images were being implanted on my heart, and they stayed with me forever. And then I would watch TV as a little girl as well, and I saw images of wealth. Even though the people that I saw looked differently from me, they were people. And I didn't see their differences. I saw their lifestyles. I
wow.
saw their homes. I saw the happy homes, the mother, the father, the sister, the brothers, the cars. And I was impressed by that. And that was a blessing that was just implanted in me. So
you're
as
so
I
right.
Yeah.
So as a little girl, were planted in you by your mom that you can have anything.
Exactly.
You can be anything.
As
you can experience anything. And so that thinking and that believing began to plant seeds in your mind, and you begin to picture and see yourself with those things.
Yes, I did. I began to picture and see myself with those things. The problem, though, is that the message I got was one-sided, and that was that I should have those things, and things became very important to me because that was the message.
Mm-hmm.
Things and looks and presentation, and I understand in retrospect where she was coming from because of slavery and the life that her parents had lived and her parents' parents had lived. So image and appearance was everything. But that was also given to me, and it was a one-sided message. So my being was encapsulated by my image, my appearance, my power, position, wealth, and all of that. That's who I was.
Right. By the way, everybody, Amanda is very beautiful. Go ahead.
Her husband would appreciate
me saying that, DiCarlo. Go ahead.
Thank you, Constance, and likewise, so are you, as they can see from your website.
Thank you.
But
as a child, your mother exposed you to certain things, and that really began your pattern of thinking and believing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happened as you grew older, when you started to work? How did your thinking and believing manifest certain things in your life?
Okay, my thinking and believing as I grew older was warped, like I said, because it was one-sided. And I thought that just because I believed it and I thought it, that it had to come to pass. Now, let me say this. It did. It did come to pass. It seems like everything that I went for, I received, but something was missing in my life because whatever I achieved, it was like I could not hold on to it. It would slip through my fingers. I mean, I worked at major corporations. I had excellent jobs, as you know. I met a lot of athletes and celebrities and been exposed to a lot, which I'm very thankful for. But it seemed like everything slipped through my hand. And I was married before, divorced. My marriage slipped. And it was just a lot of hardship and a lot of pain that was in all of the good things that were coming in my life. There were also things that were bad that were coming in my life. Now, what I've learned is that is normal. But back then, I did not know how to deal with the bad.
Right.
And the only thing that I could do each time, Constance, was that I went into a depression. And I didn't know that I was depressed, but I was.
Right. And, you know, there are so many people depressed today with what's going on in the world economically, financially, people losing their homes. Somebody said, whatever you do not possess in consciousness, you will not keep. And I believe that that's true. I believe that all of us are on a journey learning and increasing our consciousness and our spirituality. And that's what you were doing, doing that faster than doing that time in your life.
Right. I was on a journey. And the difference in then and now is that I'm aware of the journey. I know now that life is a journey. It's not a destination. And for each time that I would go into a major corporation with my well-paying job, I thought that I would be there to stay because that was the mantra. You know, you buy your home and you stay at your job until you retire. But that was not it. And I've also learned, too, because I am a believer in Jesus Christ, that God had a plan for me. So I was on this journey, not a destination, and I wanted to stay. So now I'm becoming more self-aware. You know, it's like God is teaching me to live my life on the upside instead of the downside. And I'm learning now more about who I am and understanding my motives for what I do and what makes me tick and what ticks me off.
Okay.
Yeah. And knowing
how. It's good to know that, isn't it?
It is good to know that because so often we're reactive in response. We're reactive instead of responding.
You're so right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk to you a little bit about everybody is just really desperate financially, and, you know, they have the stimulus plan, and every time you turn on the news, there's always fear about money and people's 401K. I heard a joke. Somebody said, I don't even have a K on my 401. It's gone. And so a lot of people are really struggling, but I think that if you have inner wealth consciousness, that it will manifest no matter what's going on in world systems. Tell me, what was your thinking? Because I believe that nothing just happens.
Mm-hmm.
What was your thinking and believing? I know you've been exposed to all kind of celebrities and all kind of wealth. Amanda has had great corporate positions where she's been exposed. She's been on private jets and flying with people in political positions. What was your thinking and believing before you attracted and received your wealth?
Before I attracted and received my wealth, I believed that it was possible, that the very same thing that I was seeing around me was possible for me. And despite what's going on with all of the downsizing and people losing their jobs and even the problems in my own life, we're just a representation. There are a lot of people who are living great lives,
right,
who are still quite wealthy and are doing quite well and who are unscathed by all of this. So before my wealth came into my life, that's what I was looking at. I always told you, I know I'm going to be wealthy.
She did. She would say that all of the time, Constance, I know I'm going to be wealthy. I know that I'm not exposed to all of these wealthy people and all of this wealth and riches because I'm going to have it in my life. She's been saying that for years.
For years and years. And I continue to say that. And I found myself by doing what I knew to do each day.
Give me an example.
For instance, when I would get up in the morning, especially because, like I said before, my life was just kind of off kilter for many years. And then when my relationship with Jesus Christ began, my life changed because I discovered the Bible. And I read the Bible to and fro, and in it I saw so many principles and truths to live by. I was amazed. I'm like, how has this been hidden from me all of my life? But I, you know, and of course, in actuality, it was not hidden from me. It was there. But from living out the principles, from waking up and looking at the vastness of the universe, the God that we serve, the beauty in the earth, and I knew, and knowing what God says about me, that I am heir to the throne and to the kingdom, and that I'm a princess in his eyes. And what do princes have? They have great wealth, and they have things given unto them. And that's what my father God wanted to do for me. So every day I would wake up and I would say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I knew by doing just that one little thing that I would attract good to me regardless of how I felt. Mm-hmm. Because I was saying that at one point in my life, as I was being fired from a job because I had been denied a promotion, and I was so hurt and distraught, and I would get out of my car and walk into that building knowing that I had been denied a promotion that I was due, saying, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And there was nothing that I could see to rejoice in, but yet there was everything to rejoice in.
And so that's a great idea. Let me inject this, because I think that as people, even if you're going through so much, you've been downsized, you're about to lose your house, if you could take one inspired action a day, never underestimate the power of a seed. And so if you could just say, my good is coming to me today, or goodness and mercy is going to follow me today. One thing that I really have learned about Amanda is that even in very difficult times, she'll just wake up and take inspired action. And just by saying that one word, that took her through that day.
It took me through that day.
And so it sounded like to her thinking that she believed that wealth belonged to her. I know for a fact that she would drive through certain neighborhoods, million-dollar homes, looking at that. She's always thumbing through magazines, even now. I love going shopping with her. Even now, she's always thumbing through magazines. She takes me to look at million-dollar homes, and she looks at all of that, and she gets a picture of that, and she sees herself with that. So I think that is one key, Amanda, is really not only thinking and believing, but seeing yourself with it and knowing that you deserve to have it.
Right. I agree with you 100%. And the Bible even says, a scripture that I stand on as well, is be it unto you according to your faith, or that which you believe. And that's what I believe in. It's not, to me, positive thinking, because thinking can pass. I mean, I can think this right now, and then in the next few minutes I'm thinking something else. It's a belief inside of my heart.
Right.
And it took
right.
years for it to be ingrained in my spirit, that be it unto me according to what I believe. So, of course, I want to believe for the very best that I can receive.
I call it meditative thinking. That means you ponder something again and again and again and again, and it gets down in your heart and in your spirit, and then once it's in your spirit, it's really yours.
Oh.
Well, I want to talk about some practical things. Amanda, what could you say? I know one thing you said is to really get up every day and take inspired action, just any little thing. Just like I shared earlier, I was just sort of praying and meditating. I just felt led to call the Law of Attraction Network, and here I am speaking to everybody. It was just a little hint, a little hunch I had on the inside. For people who have been downsized or lost their jobs, what are some practical things that you could say to them to sort of monitor what they're thinking and or believing right now? Because, like you said, it's not all ease, and it is difficult.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult indeed. Indeed, one thing that I would say practical to do is to believe.
Okay.
Believe that this is temporary, because it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a moment in time, just a very small moment in time. It's something that a person is going through. So I would say believe. The next thing I would say is to do what you know to do today.
Why did you say today?
Because that's all we have.
Okay.
That's truly all we have. And it you can even narrow it down to this moment, because we don't know when something may happen. I could go out in my car and get broadsided by another car, and then it's all over. So you do what you know to do in this moment. And sometimes that can even be doing nothing.
Absolutely.
Or waiting. But don't use it as a reason to procrastinate.
Right,
and that's
right.
The thing. To just wait And so often we feel that's our society. We've got to be doing something, got to do this, got to, and don't know what we're doing, just a ball of chaos. But there's a lot in waiting, but yet that can be the hardest thing to do. But
right.
Revelation, you can speak to waiting and what waiting can do.
Right. I tell you what, I know a lot of times we just want to go do, and I think we need to be. And I think that means setting aside a time every day, just meditating. If you just take one scripture or one mantra and just meditate on that, that one thing can just be a powerful force in your life. If you just meditate on all day, goodness and mercy is going to follow me today, or my good will come to me today. Mm. If you just meditated and thought on that, and sometimes I think that we need to possess the consciousness on the inside first, and then it would automatically reflect on the outside. I think that too many people are running after money, riches, mm-hmm. and wealth, and really if you get it on the inside, mm-hmm. the outside would be just a byproduct of all of that.
Yeah.
So I know that you are happily married, and you know money without somebody to share it with is no fun. And just talk a little bit about your relationship with DiCarlo, who is just a great man, how he came into your life and how that has enriched your life, because certainly wealth is more than just money. Abundance is more than just money. You need to have love in your life, health in your life, friends in your life. So when we're speaking of wealth, we're just not talking about millions. Talk a little bit about how you attracted DiCarlo in your life. And where were you at that time in your life?
Oh, my goodness. I was at one of those places that I choose to call a hard place, but it was a learning place. And it was when I had gone through being downsized myself. But during that time, I kept moving. I did, like I said, what I know to do each day, because it's so easy to just do nothing. And it's so easy. There were times in my life when I could have literally just balled up in a fetal position and just did nothing, because the pain was so great for me. But I did what I knew to do. And what I was doing at that point was continuing to develop personally. And I was at Toastmasters. And my husband sat in the front of the room. I sat in the back of the room. And I sat in the back of the room because I was feeling so badly about losing my job, which my identity was tied into. And out of shame, I sat in the back. Mm. And I saw this man who was just walking around and just speaking with other people and just talking to people and encouraging and motivating people. And he would come back and he would speak to me. I'm like, wow, what a nice man, and he's good looking too. And there was a competition that we had at Toastmasters, and he participated in the competition. And I said, oh, my goodness, not only is he good looking and he's nice, he's talented too. So we spotted each other across the room, and we just gravitated to each other. He was watching me, and I was watching him watching me.
I'm sure and, you
were. And from there, we discovered we had something in common, and that was books and reading books. And I needed a book in order to apply for another position. So I contacted my husband, and he told me that he had the book. And I'm like, great. So he said, well, you can come by and pick it up. And I said, well, I said, it's really cold. I'd rather that you brought it. He did. And we talked. And we learned we have so much in common, the fact that we both are believers in Christ, and that was the most important thing for us. And, oh, my God, it's just been 9 months later, from the time that we left, I always say from the birthing period.
Right.
From the time that we met to the time we married was 9 months.
So what and was your thinking I know what you were thinking. You're thinking and believing about a husband or a relationship before that, because I firmly believe that nothing just happens. Go ahead.
Right, right. I always believed that as well, that I would be married again. I always believed that. I have never wavered. And let me just give you an example of a girlfriend of mine that we both know about, who has been married 7 times, okay?
Okay, well, don't call her name.
I'm not going to do that. But despite the fact that she has, and I recently asked her, if you were divorced again, do you feel that you can marry again? She said, oh, yeah, without a doubt. And she has proven that time and time again because she believes that that's what she attracts to her.
Right.
Now, whether or not she has mastered how to stay married, that's another question,
that's another question.
Different subject.
Mm-hmm.
But that was her belief system, and that was mine as well. I could have been married before, but this time I was believing for a man who knew and believed like I knew and believed, somebody
right.
who was like-minded, somebody who had the same goals, ambitions, and purposes that I do, somebody that I had something in common with, someone that, you know, also, of course, who was attractive to me and that I was attracted to, and somebody who would treat me well.
Right.
And I got all of that in my
husband.
You
sure did. Because remember, whatever you think about, imagine, believe, and feel strongly about, you will attract more of that into your experience.
Absolutely.
And so Amanda has constantly said over the years, I will meet and marry my husband.
Mm-hmm.
She has said and believed her feelings. She just knew it when it came out of her mouth. It just permeated your being because there was such faith and belief in what she was saying. And so, once again, that's just an example to all of our listening audience of that whatever you want, you just need to really put your attention on that. Now, if Amanda put her attention on what she wanted in both cases, she wanted wealth. So I'm sure, Amanda, were there times when you didn't have any money?
Oh.
And I know that that's true. Was your thinking on lack or was it on wealth? Did you just know somehow, some way that money will come to me? What was your thinking when you were lacking?
Oh, even when I was lacking. And when I was a young divorced mother, I would have maybe $2. And my mother would say, do you have any money? I said, yes. She said, well, how much do you have? I said, $2. She said, that's not any money. I said, yes, it is.
Wow.
But I always knew. I always knew that it would come. I always
mm-hmm.
knew. And God directed me to it. He directed me to the right place at the right time where the money came to me in an extraordinary way.
Right.
In a very extraordinary way.
So this is what Amanda did. She took her attention off of lack and she kept it on abundance. Because whatever you want, you need to attend to that. You need to put your attention on that. And so, Amanda, so many people are saying that I want wealth and I want abundance. And they may do a mantra or read a scripture or do a meditation. And then when they come from that place, what they'll do is they will say, I don't know how I'm going to pay these bills. I don't know how I'm going to pay this mortgage. And they'll go and look at the news and fear will rise up. And so really, looking at all of that and thinking all that fear neutralizes what they said. But it sounds like that with you, you were very firm and just had just very established in your thinking about, even though I only have $2, I know some way, somehow wealth will come to me.
I did. That's so true. And I knew no principles. There was nothing guiding me other than just a knowing inside of me that was the right thing to do, because I see and the universe is so full of wealth. I don't see any lack. And
right.
So I was not operating off of principles that I knew cerebral. It was in my heart that I was to have.
Because when you look at the beautiful blue water and green water and just the beautiful sky and all the different color flowers. I mean, you always say that the universe is so abundant. So
it's
how
so
can
abundant.
We have less?
How can we have? How can we lack gas? I mean, I can't even comprehend lack, especially when I have a God who says he'll provide for all of my needs according to his riches and glory, and he owns everything. I mean, I can't even comprehend that. But before I knew that, I still could not comprehend that with my eyes because there's so much to see.
Right.
There's so much to do. And as far as relationships, I really must point this out because I know that it is an important time for people and it's a hard time for people. You taught me the importance of relationships and same-sex relationships. You really taught me that. If there are females who are going through things right now, they need other females to help comfort them through it, not a male. But they need other females. And likewise, if there are men who are going through something, they need men to comfort them through it and talk them through it as well as support groups. And
right.
That's what you taught me, the value of and the wealth that's in friendship.
Well, that's very powerful because I believe that you never choose any higher than how you see yourself. And so I believe that you need somebody on your level or higher.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Covey says that you're going to become like the seven people who you hang with.
Mm.
And so my question to you is, who's in your life right now? And
mm.
so you're so right that having friends and having just having people who you can talk to, that is so wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And we know so many wealthy people who have money, but they don't have any love in their life, et cetera. So thank you so much for bringing that out.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit. We got about 20 minutes left, Amanda, a little bit about your purpose and destiny, because you cannot live abundantly unless you have purpose and destiny. And I know that in my life, I'm really called to help people through training and teaching and workshops and seminars. And just quickly, what about you? I know you had a lot of money. At one point, you were very frustrated because, you know, it's only so much you can do with wealth. I mean, she has everything, and she's just really gorgeous. But I would call her and say, what are you doing? You said, I don't know. You know, you were just sort of aimless. So talk about that just
right,
a little bit.
Right. Once again, back to people who are being downsized, losing jobs, and I'm middle age, and what I'm doing now is reinventing myself. Some of my roles, I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a grandmother, I'm a daughter and a sister, but I'm also pursuing my master's degree in marriage and family therapy, and that's my purpose and my destiny and my aim. And with that, I want to, my husband and I, because my husband is a coach as well, and he's
mm-hmm.
an author, and he's just so brilliant and smart.
He is.
We want to open up a conference center where we have rooms for other counselors, as well as a conference center, like a theater,
right.
where you can have host conferences and everything, so that we can help other people establish their goals and know who they are and get to where they want to be. I want to do the counseling portion and my husband the coaching to help them to accomplish their goals.
Okay. So quick question. Do you feel more purposeful, like, since you are in school versus when you were just shopping and doing all your other stuff with all your money? Do you feel more purposeful now that you're in school than before? Because I know before you were sort of struggling. What am I going to do with my life? I don't feel valuable.
Right.
I'm just at home. And I'm sure a lot of women are feeling like this. So do you feel more purposeful now?
I do, but I can't say that then was not purposeful because I think that that was my purpose at the time.
Okay, that's
I
good.
Believe that I had to go through that period of my life in order to get to where I am now.
Okay.
Because we're always manifesting. And that's the thing, whether you're at home shopping or at home wondering, you're always manifesting something. But that has to become a change. Well, with me, that became a change in my belief system.
Okay.
When I got so frustrated with what I was doing. And I realized that what I was manifesting at that point in my life really wasn't enough because there was something in me that has to be giving, just like
right.
you're doing now.
Right.
That there was more in me to give because of my life experience. Because I know that I serve a purpose for God, and He created me for a purpose.
Right. Like I said earlier, we want to awaken the greatness that's in people, awaken the power that's in people, and just utilizing the laws, and there are so many others other than the law of attraction are just tools to make us be more powerful and to walk in more purpose and destiny. So we have about 15 minutes. I want you to take 5 minutes. Amanda, you said you want to share something, a story with the audience, with the listeners. Go ahead.
Oh, yes, I do. I do. I want to tell you a story, and the title of this story is Who Knows What Is Good or Bad? And I think about this story often myself as I go through my journey of life, and the journey of life consists of highs and lows and ups and downs. But it's a situation that we always live in, and it's like that of the wise Chinese farmer. This farmer had a stallion, and his stallion won a prize at a county festival. His neighbors congratulated him on his good fortune. But the old farmer says, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" The next day, some thieves came and they stole his valuable stallion. His neighbors came over this time to commiserate with him and said, "Oh, poor you." But the man said, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" A few days later, that same stallion escaped from the thieves who had stolen him, joined a herd of wild mares, and led them back to the farm. The neighbors called on the farmer to share in his joy, but the farmer said, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" The following day, while trying to break in one of the wild mares, the farmer's son is thrown and breaks his leg. The neighbors join the farmer to share in his sorrow, but the old man's attitude remains the same. He said, "Who knows what is good or bad?" The following week, the army passes by, forcibly recruiting soldiers for a war. But they do not take the farmer's son because he cannot walk. He broke his leg. The neighbors called on the farmers to congratulate him. But the old wise farmer said, "Who knows what is good and what is bad?" And most of us, in closing, most of us divide up our life experiences into those two categories. The things we like, we consider them good, and the things we dislike, we consider those bad.
Mm-hmm.
But William Shakespeare said, "But there is neither good nor bad. But thinking makes it so."
Wow. How powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so apropos for people who are, like I said earlier, who are just experiencing a very difficult time. And because I believe it's always a matter of perspective, that you always can choose what you think about something. I tell people, because all you can do is just think one thought at a time. You can do that, can't you?
Yeah.
One feeling at a time, because thoughts and feeling create. So that's very, very powerful. Amanda, do you have anything else you would like to leave with our audience? You have just been so great today, and I just thank you so much for sharing. It's such an honor to have you as one of my best friends, and that's why I wanted you on first, to show our audience that a common, not that you're common, but just what some people would call an everyday person, has produced extraordinary results in her life. And I always say that the laws will work for anybody who will work them.
Yes.
If you have a five-year-old and you ask that five-year-old to go over and turn the light on, that light will come on. Or if you have a 50-year-old person and you ask them to go and turn the light on, it will come on, because the laws will work for those who will work them. And I said earlier, Amanda, my own struggle was, I was certainly a woman of the spirit, but it's the spirit and the laws that have to be combined in order for manifestation to come in our lives.
Absolutely.
And so you have really, really been great tonight, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on, and the blessings of God be with you today.
Oh, thank you so much. And like I said before, Constance, I am so proud of you, but most of all, I'm so glad that I'm blessed to have you in my life.
Thank you.
And I hope and I pray that someone has been touched by our conversation today. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, right, and that's what we said. This is just a conversation, because she was a little nervous and I was a little nervous. And what I said was, we're just going to be talking. We're just going to be authentically who we are, just really real and raw. so that people can still learn universal principles and implement it in their lives. But we're just really an example of the wealth of two friends.
Right.
So not only are you a multimillionaire, but you're just a blessing to me and everyone who you come in contact with. So I just want to thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I just want to sum up a little bit about what Amanda said, because every week at the end of the show, we're going to have a wow. And that means within 1 week. Within 1 week, I want you to be able to take some of the principles and some of the concepts that have been shared on the show and implement it into your life. So I'm just going to share a couple of things with you. Number one, like Amanda said, thoughts and feelings create. Every day you need to get up and you need to make a decision that you have the power to create your life instead of living it by default. Now, that's not always easy, as Amanda said. I mean, who feels like getting up every day feeling and thinking great? But you make a decision that you have the power to create your life instead of living it by default. So since thoughts and feelings create, I want you to intentionally begin to think and feel great about whatever you want. Let's just use money for an example. What have your thoughts been about money lately? Have you been thinking, oh, my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just lost my job. It's wintertime and my gas bill is so high. The gas is so high. And then what are your feelings? Are you fearful? Are you scared? So what I want you to do is just begin with 5 minutes per day and gradually begin to increase your thoughts and feelings about money. See yourself with money. What would you do if you had money? See yourself going to the bank. See yourself helping other people. And begin to create the feelings of having it now. Now, that's not always easy. I've had to do that over the last 3 months because I said I've just been at home and have not been able to train or coach a lot. So what I had to do was when it came to money, just believe that I say every day that money comes to me from the north, west, east, and south. And so literally with my words and with my pictures, I really called in money. So remember, thoughts and feelings create. And whatever you place your attention on, whatever you think about, imagine, believe, and feel strongly about, you attract more of that into your experience. My goodness, let's just break this down. Whatever you place your attention on, where has your attention been lately? What have you been attending to? Have you been attending to television or to what everybody else is saying? So you've got to begin to watch where you place your attention. Whatever you think about, you need to begin to monitor your thinking. I am utterly amazed sometimes at how my mind just goes crazy, just on all kinds of different things. And so you've got to begin to take captive your thoughts and monitor your thoughts. And whatever you imagine, you're always playing a movie. A movie is going through your mind, through your life all the time. And so you need to begin to imagine. Your subconscious or your spirit is most open in the morning and at night. Now, for me, night is better. So every night before I go to bed, I see myself having, I see myself doing, I see myself standing before thousands. I have some little soft music that I play, and I go to sleep, and I get a vision of it on the inside of me. And whatever you believe and feel strongly about, you're going to attract more of that into your experience. And so for someone who's listening, if you are going through a very difficult time, let's just say you've been downsized and you've just put in so many applications online and nobody is calling you back, I want you to begin to place your attention on, I have a job, and I have it now. I have a great career. It has great benefits. It's close to my home, et cetera. I want you to begin to think about it. Think about going to work. Think about your new office. Imagine yourself really being able to bring solutions to your company. I want you to believe and feel strongly about it, and you will begin to attract more of that into your life. And so those are the things I want you to do within 1 week. Make a decision that you have the power to create your life instead of living it by default, because when you do that, you stay in the victim mode. Poor me. Choose one area where you fear you desire change, just one area. Don't choose love and health and wealth. Just choose one. Begin to intentionally, and that intentional is that means on purpose. You make a decision to choose thoughts and feelings that will begin the process of change, and remember that it is a process, and you're going to begin with just 5 minutes per day. They said that if we would read 15 minutes of inspirational material, how our lives would change drastically. And I'm going to say with this whole 5 minutes per day, your mind may go back and forth, because they say that we can only stay on one thought for like, our attention is like 8 seconds. Isn't that something? So begin with 5 minutes per day and then gradually increase. And picture whatever you want with your thoughts and feelings, with passion and conviction, your desired results, and believe that you have it now. What would you act like if you had a lot of money? What would that feel like to you? What would you be doing? Where would you be going? So that's what I want you to do for next week. Now, let me tell you what we got coming up next week. I'm so excited. Guess what? I've had so much fun tonight, and I had such a great time, and I'm so excited. I think I'll do this again next week. Isn't that something? So next week we have Dr. Shirley Carmack. Boy, she is a powerful woman. She's an author. She is an entrepreneur, and she's a multimillionaire. The name of her book is Growing Into Greatness. She's going to talk to you, all of you people in business or in sales. I want you to make sure you tune in, because she's going to be talking about how to attract customers in your life. She's going to be talking about how she came from tragedy to becoming a multimillionaire, and she's been in direct sales for 25 years. Can you believe that? So that's next week coming up, Dr. Shirley Carmack. Also, I want you to email me. My website is www.fulfillingyourpurpose.com, and you can just email me at constance@fulfillingyourpurpose.com. I want you to send me your comments. I want you to tell me some of your concerns or your needs so that I can make sure that I get some guests in here who can kind of help you with some of your problems. And I just want you to email me. And if some of you want to email Amanda, you can just email me, and I will make sure that she gets that message. So I am so excited about the show. Did you learn anything today? Did you see any areas where you really need to change? I mean, I know I do. One particular area that I'm going to change that I heard Amanda talk about was to do something small every day. Sometimes I think that I have to do something really big and really great. So that was one key that really sort of really went in my heart, that I really need to just do something very, very small. And I want to say to people, sometimes when you're really going through a lot that it's difficult to do something big, you may be so depressed that you may not even feel like doing something big. But someone said to me that when a plane is off course, all it needs to do is just be realigned just a little bit, and then it's back on course again. So if you could do what Amanda said by just taking one little inspired action, of finding a mantra that works for you, as I said earlier, or a scripture that works for you, and just begin to say it out loud. Standing out loud is very, very important, because words are creative and you really create your world with your words. So this has just been a great time for me, and I'm just so honored to have shared with everybody today. And I just want to thank you. And this is Constance Arnold once again coming to you with Think, Believe, and Manifest. And my last words to you is that all things are possible if you believe. Have a great day.
Thanks for joining us today on Think, Believe, and Manifest. We'll be back next week with another great show. For more information, go to fulfillingyourpurpose.com.